second book of Corinthians. In chapter 2. I just got a couple of points and just a phrase that I've been looking at in this book. It really is interesting. Corinthians is a very troubled church, and yet Paul loved this church. You know, it says over there in Acts, I think it's around 18 or so, he spent a year and a half in this church. And he loved this church. And in chapter 2, I think it's in verse 4, he says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." You know, you would figure with the church with so many problems, and the first book got 16 chapters, and just like everything, he's hitting everywhere, just a bunch of stuff that's going on, and you would figure with a church with so many problems, you'd say, man, I don't want to go back to this place, you know, I don't want to talk to these people, you know, they're making a mess of their lives, but yet he loved these people, and he's writing these people with tears. He wants them to be complete. And I think it's possible. You know, I think it's possible not only for, like Matt was, you know, mentioned to be an ordinary Christian, I guess is what he said, right? But just to walk with God and prove ourselves to him, that we love him and that we want to do what he says. And you know, and your life would be much better if you did. You know, been walking with the Lord 36, 37 years, something like that. And, man, it was during a mission conference, you know, so many neat things happen in a mission conference. You know, it doesn't always have to be that way. You know, I think we should look for God and look for God to move in our lives all the time, every day. But mission conference has always had a special place in my heart because that's where I came, I heard the preaching every day, I made a deal with God, and I said, I'm gonna come every single night, every single meeting. You know, I went back and listened to those messages, got them somewhere, recorded somewhere, and I went back and listened to them, I'm thinking, wow, God spoke to me every single night in that mission conference. And I thought he was talking directly to me. Well, I know he was. Right? I got saved at the end of that week. My life has never been the same.
Amen.
It says here in Second Corinthians chapter 2, and this phrase I've been thinking about, and it says, "For to this end also I did write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." You know, and just that verse right there, or that phrase, the proof of you. You know, somehow I think God, and he does that, I think he wants us to prove our obedience to him. I think God looks for us to prove our love for him. And we see it, there's examples of it all over the Bible about it, but when he says here proof, it's an evidence or a demonstration, right, of what you're saying. Right? It's to prove, it's to establish with facts. It's a test, it's to confirm and verify that you love God. That you want to obey what he says. And I think that just that little phrase, and during a mission conference, it is a time that many things happen. Not only we get to see, you know, old faces, you know, I love it this year because, you know, Brother Steve is here, and man, I just love that guy. I just love that guy. When I first came to this church, he was one of my pastors. Love listening to Brother Steve. I didn't know what I was going to hear that Sunday when he was preaching, but I loved it. He was just nuts sometimes, you know? I still remember that one time, brother, that he shows up and he has this back, remember those dot matrix printers? you know, and that are all like, see, all, they're all together. When he comes to the pulpit and he puts it down and he throws out the long sheet. It's like, he says, okay, here's my sermon. I'm thinking, oh man, we're going to be here all day. Lots of verses we read that morning. But you know, the mission conference is a time for many things happen. It's definitely a time to check ourselves, right? To examine ourselves, a time of to prove ourselves to the Lord. That's what I like about the mission conference. We're going to hear a lot of messages this week. I know it's going to stir us up again, might provoke us, challenge us, rebuke us, shed some light on what God wants us to change or maybe even do different, right, for the advancement of the gospel. But he uses this church in Corinthians, where it has lots of problems, right? We talk about legal problems, talking about serious sin problems, chaos, right? You read over there in chapter 11, where it talks about the Lord's Supper, and I mean, they had it like a big buffet, right? I mean, it just got away from them. I mean, you know, people were being shunned and people didn't, you know, weren't eating like they're, I mean, it was a lot of problems and he had to go in there and correct them. And I'm sure some people got upset with him, right? You know, who are you to correct us? You know, we like our buffets, you know. I mean, I don't know. It happens, you know, during this mission conference, you'll probably hear some messages and you'll probably get upset, right? Get back to Mexico. Go back to Poland. But this is what happens during a mission conference. And I think it's an opportunity for us to prove that we want to obey God. A time to prove that we love the Lord. One thing that we notice here is the Corinthians, they boasted a lot about the things that they knew, right? The gifts. And yet Paul said, you guys are carnal, right? They spoke about being spiritual, yet there was a lot of divisions, right? I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm this and that. You're a bunch of nobodies, right? That's what we are. Probably be a lot smarter to think that way, you know? Yeah. I don't have a problem. People sometimes get embarrassed because they go, oh, I forgot your name. Don't worry about it. Nobody. Nobody at all, you know? Let's talk about Christ.
Amen.
You know, I forget people's names. Faces not so much. A lot of people are ugly. Hard to forget. But you know, they spoke about having knowledge and yet they lacked fundamental doctrine, right? So Paul had a lot of things to say about these people. We can talk a lot. And I know in this church, man, this is a very different church, right? As far as the gospel, getting the gospel out, you know? I think about when Brother Lindell was, you know, he was talking about it and stuff, about the first mission conference, you know, his desire was not to send any missionaries out. He just wanted the church to get excited about missions. God had other plans. It said, you love me? You know, you want to obey me? I'm gonna give you an opportunity to prove it. Man, you know, for so many years, you all have supported missions. You know, I had an opportunity to go down to Chiapas and preach down there with David West. He'll be here this week, I think on Thursday, and from Town East. He invited me down there and I went to Chiapas. I was a little scared. You know, Chiapas in the jungle. Like, man, I'm getting eaten by a jaguar. You know? Went down there and I mean, these people, the simple people, love the Lord. I went down there and you talk about, you know, just basic, meeting places and just, I mean, everything very simple. They cooked everything with logs. And I mean, it was just very interesting to be down there. But you know what? These people are sending They have a group of people. They're sending people to India. They're sending people to Pakistan. They're sending people to China. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, how are they going to do this? I mean, these people are not rich, but they got a burden to send out the gospel. We can do it. And let me tell you, they don't live with much. So they can go to these countries and really not expect to have much more than they have there. Just an amazing thing. You know, the Corinthians, I know we've done a lot. I know we've supported a lot. I know we're involved in a lot. This brother who started these works down there in Chiapas, you know, Brother Lindell knew him. Very interesting guy. You know how he started these churches in Chiapas? The guy bought a plane back in the day. He lived in Puebla. Back in the day, 30-something years ago, whatever it was. He bought a plane, taught himself how to fly it, went out there and threw tracks out the window. Amen. I talked to a guy in one of the churches. I talked to a guy that he said, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, got a track. And he saw this plane come, and he's tossing out these tracks. And they're like, I mean, they've seen the plane before. They're like, what's going on? Somebody went out and got it, and there was one guy there, his dad, who knew how to read. So he started reading the literature. That old man said, that's the truth. What he's reading right there, that's the truth. That's how they started. They started, they sent back these correspondent courses. It's incredible. You think that's just a crazy idea. We think, oh no, we have to go do it a certain way. So God can save by means that we have no idea. It's just amazing. All you got to do is just get out there and do it. God's word does not come back to him void. Amen. I don't know what he was thinking. I didn't know him. But he got an opportunity to prove that he wanted to serve God and he wanted to see something special. And God gave it to him. I mean, there's so many churches down there. It's just incredible. And I felt very humbled going down there and preaching to him. It was very, gave me like a little revival too. But you know, they go down there and he goes down there and he speaks to the Corinthians. And they speak a lot and they talk a lot, but you know, the proof of a Bible church, of a good Bible church, it's ability to be obedient to what God says. He says here, you all are obedient in all things, right? And proving our love to Christ. Man, it's measured by what we do, brethren. You know, what you do is important. Remember over there in Revelation, In chapter 2 and chapter 3, he speaks to seven churches. It's very interesting because in verse 2, 9, 13, 19, chapter 3, 1, 8, and 15, he says the same thing. I know thy works.
Amen.
Have you ever thought of that? I mean, I know we've read it. I know we know it. But have you ever meditated on that? God knows your works. Not only the church here at Oak Knoll, but personally, he knows what you do. And he knows what you don't do. Right? Because a work can be a good work, and it can be a bad work. And he shows up to them and he says, I know your works. Christ is intimately and perfectly aware of all your actions. Every deed you do, your spiritual condition of every believer in here, to the youngest to the oldest, he knows exactly where you are at this moment. And you know what I think God wants from us? Prove it. Prove you love me. Prove that you are obedient in all things. And I think we can see it. We see it in the life of Abraham. We see it in the life of Mary. We see it in the life of Job. So many people in the Bible. Have you ever considered over there in John 21, something I was thinking about along with this, about proving. And I started thinking about all these people that God was proving them. In John chapter 21, so Jesus is resurrected. Peter has his crew with him, right? There's Thomas was there. Nathanael was there. The sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. Right? He goes. They said, man, I'm going to go fishing. So they take off. They didn't catch anything. Jesus says, throw on the other side. They bring in a bunch, right? 153 fish. Right? I like that number. Right? I mean, this book is really interesting, right? I would say 150, 100. No, 153. Right? Jesus shows up there. They show up to the shore. He already has coals lit. He already has fish on the fryer, right? They get off, they eat. Right? They're eating, and by this time they know, man, this is the Lord. No one wants to say anything, but saying, this is Jesus. And they're like freaking out. And then the next thing we see in 15, he says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And then the other two times he says, lovest thou me? But this first time he says, do you love me more than these? And I started thinking, what's he talking about? Is he talking about the fish? Maybe the nets, the boats? Maybe he's saying, do you love me more than, because you got to remember, Peter was a fisherman. Jesus died. He was gone already. Maybe he was thinking, I'm going to go back to my old job. Right? Maybe he had plans. Maybe he was trying to get a crew out there. Maybe these guys, his personal friends, they're probably starting a business. It wasn't going good that day. They didn't catch anything. But Jesus asked him, do you love me more than these? You know, and I think this week, maybe God is going to ask you to prove if you love what you have more than what God wants from us. Do you love your job more? Man, when I was been on the mission field, been in Mexico for 32 years in January. Man, when the Lord called me, when he was dealing with me about it, nothing else mattered. Amen. Nothing else does matter, really. You know, I mean, I can honestly say that I have no desire or no pullback on me coming back. You know, I think I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Nothing else matters. And if I did come back, I think I'd be doing the same thing I'm doing down there. Just a different zip code. You know, just a different place. Preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, winning people to Christ, there's nothing better. There's nothing else worth doing. And when he says, do you love me more than these? Maybe he was talking about his friends. Maybe he was talking about the disciples or the stuff, whatever it is. But he gave them an opportunity to prove it. Each time he said, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know, Peter was faithful. He did that. He went and he taught and he preached. I mean, could you imagine preaching your first sermon and 3,000 souls get saved? Wow.
Amen.
That must have been something. That must have been incredible. And then he does it again in 5,000. And then imagine the problems that came with all that, right? Because you're not only getting, I mean, it's fabulous to get, you know, people to understand the gospel and they get saved and they're, oh man, this is great. And then you got to deal with their life, right? That's a problem with church sometimes, right? is just full of sinners. If it wasn't full of sinners, then we'd be okay. But he was faithful all the way to the end. You know, God has blessed us up to this point, right? He's been faithful to allow us to participate in getting the gospel out in our Jerusalem, right? In our Judea, in our Samaria, to the uttermost. Wow! This is incredible. And I don't think that God is done. Right? I think God wants us to do more.
Amen.
And I think God wants you to do more.
Amen.
Or at least start doing something. Right? Maybe you're coming, maybe you're giving, maybe you're doing the bare minimum, like was said this evening. And then you go, God, I love you. I thank you for this. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for, you know, come. And then God's just saying, why don't you prove it to me? Why don't you step out and do this? I want you to extend yourself a little bit further. Maybe.
Amen.
How are we going to prove to the Lord that we want to continue doing this work? And probably even more. We got to be obedient to everything he says. We have to show our love that we have, or that we say we have, for Christ. You know, this week is going to be a time for reflection, maybe rededication, maybe some reckoning. But you're going to have that time this week. You know, Matt said, come every night, come every night. I'm telling you, when I got saved and when I made that deal with God, I'm going to come every night. I got blessed every single night. I remember that. You know what amazed me so much is how nice everyone was in this place. And then I got saved and I started coming. I'm thinking, you know, we got some problems here. We all got problems, right? But God is so good to give us an opportunity, to give us a church, to give us a place to meet. We live in the most free country in the world. It's incredible. And even us living in Mexico, I mean, aside from everything else, it's funny when I come up here, almost the first thing that people always ask, how is it down there? And I'm thinking, oh, are you talking about the work? No, the cartels. You know, how is the cartel? I said, well, you know, I haven't had lunch with them in a while, but I have no idea. I don't know if I've knocked on their doors. I don't know if they've heard me preach. I don't want to know. You know, I just want to go out there and try to win people.
Yeah.
But even though we have problems down there, in Mexico, like you have problems here, we still got so much liberty. So much liberty to preach the gospel. So much liberty to do something for God. We have an opportunity to prove to God how much we love him, how much we want to obey, be obedient to him. In 2 Corinthians 2:9, it says, the proof of you. You know what he's saying? Prove it. This church, had a person in this assembly who had some problems. And they had to correct it. This person got disciplined. Right? So Paul's writing back in this chapter, in this second book, and he's saying, you gotta take him back now. He's already repented. He's trying to get his life back. He wants to meet. He wants to, you know, be accepted again. And he's telling them, look, you got to prove yourself now. You say you obey in all things. And I know you do. You're I'm writing you. You're correcting some things. You're trying to do the right thing. Now obey in this thing. You know, I think God uses situations. And like I said, like this mission conference, he uses times like this to allow us to prove ourselves to him. And I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to old people. I'm talking to everybody. You have another opportunity to prove to God that you want to be obedient to Him in all things. And you want to be obedient also in showing that you love Christ above all things. You know, there's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And this book, I remember when I read it, long time ago, somebody mentioned it. And so I said, I'm going to check out that book. It was written by an English historian. And there was just one person in there. His name was Polycarp. He was a bishop in one of the churches. From what I understand, he was a disciple of John. But anyways, this guy, he goes in 150 AD. He goes and they put him on a stake and they burn him for his faith in Christ. And the Roman emperor, or the Roman leader, or whatever he was, gave him an opportunity. And he said, if you recant, if you deny Christ, if you say you're not a believer anymore, then we'll let you live. And he's there, he has an opportunity to prove to God his love for his Savior. And this comment that he made has always stayed with me. He said, these 86 years, I've served him and he has done me no harm. How can I curse my King who saved me? Wow. He had an opportunity to prove his obedience to God, to prove his love for Christ. Did you imagine that, being burned? They actually had to kill him with a sword because, according to that book, his flesh was not consumed. He was burning, but he wasn't being consumed. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. Right? But that's just incredible to me that God allows things to happen. God allows you to prove yourself to him. And I think in a conference like this, you're going to have that opportunity. You can ignore it. You cannot come, right? You can try to run. But if you come and if you have an open heart, maybe something that we say this week is going to hit you and God's going to give you an opportunity to prove it. Just two things and we're done. The proof of obedience. He says there in verse 9, and talking about this church, you're obedient in all things, right? You know, I don't have a doubt that this church loves its missionaries. I have no doubt. You know, I come up here, you've always been nice to me, right? I mean, even way back before, I wasn't even saved. You've always been nice to me. And you guys, you know, some of you write me, some of you call me, some of you, you know, when I'm up here, you invite me, you know, to your house or whatever, you know, there's no doubt that you guys love your missionaries. And there's no doubt you love the lost. You know, Saturday night, we were here in, Pavel. Did I say that right? Pavel. Polish is easy. What are these people talking about? He stood up and he thanked the church for this church sending missionaries to his country. He has a better understanding of the gospel, better understanding of the word of God. You know, he's seen people get saved down there. His own countrymen, but it was because this church had a love for the lost people in Poland and they sent families down there who did not know the language. And they learned it and they preached the gospel and now there's several churches. I don't know how many, and I'm not even going to attempt to name them because they got weird names down there. But it's just incredible to me. Incredible that what God has done and allowing them to prove their faithfulness, to prove their love, to prove their obedience, to go down to another country where it's just a crazy language and to learn it. The food's pretty good down there. But the language, I got some problems. Now I think in the Tower of Babel, they were like the last in line or something, you know, for the languages. It's a mess. But does your personal witness, your life, does it prove your obedience to Christ? How about your giving to the gospel? Does it prove your obedience to God? Does your time that you invest to win people to Christ, can it prove your obedience to Christ? Now, you don't have to prove anything to me or the pastors. I'm talking about to Christ, right? It's God saying, prove it. It's God saying to each one of us, I want you to prove what's coming out of your mouth. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. I want you to prove it. You say you love, you say you're this and that, prove it now. Receive them back into the fold. It was almost like a measuring stick to their obedience that they're claiming they have. And Paul knew it. Paul understood, yeah, they are obedient in all things. I don't think he was lying, but it's an opportunity for us to do it. And the second thing, your proof of love. 2 Corinthians 8:7. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Second and last thing. Second Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. You know, Paul's telling them, you guys are abounding in faith. They're understanding their belief in the truth. They're abounding in that, right? They're abounding in utterance, right? Their ability to maybe disciple people, their ability to transmit the gospel to them, they were abounding in it. You know, I'm sure it had something to do with tongues as well. You know, they were able to convey the message of the gospel very well. And Paul says, man, you guys are abounding in that. Not only in faith and utterance, but in knowledge as well of God, who God is, who Christ is, what the gospel is. You guys are abounding in that. And in all diligence, man, they were diligent in getting the gospel out in service, in various duties. I mean, they were busy. They were a busy church. But then he talks about the grace of giving. And he tells them, you need to abound in this more.
True.
Wow. Seriously? Yeah. This, you got so many things going on. And you know what? I love this church. I love listening to the messages, you know, that you guys, that Steve and Bill and Brent preach. I mean, it's good. It's good stuff. It's, you know, doctrinally, I mean, I just like it. I learn stuff. It's very good. And I believe there's people in this church who have an ability to win people, to convey the gospel. We have so many gifts in this church. But you know, Paul says something here incredible. He says, you need to abound. See that ye abound in this grace also. You need to, and he doesn't apologize for chapter 8 and 9. It's all about giving. There's no apologies there, right? There was a necessity, and these churches, at one point, it seems like he was trying to refuse their generosity. They say, you know what? You guys are way too poor. Don't give anymore. And they said, no, please take it. We want to give more. That's the attitude, I think, that we need to have. And God says, I want you to prove that to me. You know, giving of your money is proof, I think, of obedience and loyalty and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving of your time. You know, to be focused on the kingdom of God, right? Discipling people. Our daily life, I think Brent said today, right? You have a sign out there that says you're now entering the mission field as you go out. That should be our thought process every single day. We're entering the mission field. There's nothing better that we need to do. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that not only do we should be giving out the gospel, that we need to probably be doing it more? Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Prove it.
Amen.
Prove it. You have another opportunity tomorrow. You have an opportunity to prove this week. You know, Paul doesn't talk about it like a burden. To give of your time, to give of your money. It's not a burden. It seems to me like Paul looks at it as a privilege. I get to do this. You know, when I was living up here before I was down, preaching the gospel in Mexico, I got paid every 2 weeks. And you know, the months that had, I got three paychecks in that month just because the way the calendar worked out. It got me so excited. I didn't give more money, you know, but that month, those 2 months or whatever those 2 months were, I thought to myself, the missionaries are going to get more money this month. It just worked out that way, the calendar. I wasn't given more money. It just worked out that way. But I got excited because I got to give three times that month. You know, giving to the gospel. Wow. When I think about the Bible Project down there in Poland, man, I get excited when Joe, he puts up those things. Oh, we ordered more of this and more of that. And when we're giving it over here, I'm thinking, man, I had a part in that. That's just awesome. Giving the gospel. And Paul did not apologize for that. I think he wanted us to understand you need to do more of it. You have an opportunity this week to prove to God, I want to do more for you. You know, in 2 Corinthians 8:8, it says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. In 1 John 3:18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. We need to examine ourselves and prove the sincerity of our love. And one way we can do it, not only by obeying in all things, but this grace of giving. Giving to God. We need to prove it. You know, are we still committed to supporting and sending missionaries to the uttermost? Prove it. It's going to cost us more. I understand that, right? I don't like it when I hear people that say, you know, we're in a new time now. We don't need to be sending more people out or doing more in that way. Cause we have the internet, right? We have videos. We have YouTube. And yeah, praise God. Yeah, I'm glad for that. You know, you want to paint your face up like a clown and go out there and, you know, do some tricks. I'll be right there with you. I'll pass out tracts. I can preach. I can, you know, whatever you want to do. I don't care. But it should not take the place of sending the gospel to the uttermost, of sending out people to more countries, of doing more for God. It shouldn't take the place of that. I think we need to prove it. Our sincerity, our love and sincerity. You know, that when we understand the love that God wants us to have, the sincere love, it causes us to give. You ever thought about that? John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world. And then what does it say? He gave. He loved. Sincere love. I don't know why God loved me. I really don't. I was not looking for him. I didn't want anything to do with him. But I thank God he saved me. Amen. Changed my life. Gave me a good wife. Gave me a good church.
Amen.
Gave me a daughter. Gave me a son. Finally got a son. Right? Gave me a good son. Four beautiful grandbabies. Five, maybe. God has been so good. He's given us opportunities to prove ourselves. This week we are getting ourselves geared up. I mean, this is why we're here, right? Getting ourselves geared up to go out and serve God.
Amen.
And prove our love and prove that we want to be obedient in all things. One more verse. 2 Corinthians 8, the very last verse. And it says, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. You know, the mission conference is not a time that we come here and we boast about everything we've done in the past and everything we're doing. I mean, we've done a lot. I hope God allows us to do much more. But you know what? It's a time to be accountable. This week, it's time for us to allow God to speak to us. Where's our shortcoming? What he wants us to do? Where he wants us? We need to let God speak to us. And then we should hear that voice, and God says, now I want you to prove it. I want you to prove to me that you really want this. And you have that opportunity. Just like he did to Peter. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Prove it. Wow. What an opportunity we have. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope you come all week, and definitely we'll want to see God move in our lives. Amen?
Amen.